Let us pray.
Sorry.
Dear Lord, this is truly our prayer before you, that is to have an undivided heart, undivided love towards you. So we commit everyone into your hand. Lord, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we look at the first passage? The first verse I want to read is in Mark chapter 2, verse 14. Mark chapter 2, verse 14. As he passed by, as Jesus passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. So this is a message. Follow me. This is how God, how Jesus called Levi or Matthew to follow him. I think this is a very important point. Jesus asked us to follow him. He's not saying there, read Bibles. No, he did not ask Matthew to read Bibles. He did not ask him to come to the meeting every Sunday. In here, he did not say, baptize. No, not here. Follow me. Not following some rules, not following some commandments, not some ideologies, not some principles, how you live your life. Okay, practice this and you will be live a very good life. Okay, now you can go. No, it's follow me. Can we see that it's a relationship he wants? He did not call him, you got to achieve this. You have to be good. You have to study Bible. Jesus asked him to do some good works, to have some achievements in life. So often, men would like to have some achievements in their life, but in here, didn't ask for achievement in your life. Follow me. It's the ultimate thing in our life. When you become a Christian, you come here because of following Jesus. Is this what you want? You may come here because of following your parents. You may come here because of following your friends. When I was still a school teacher, I invited my students to come to the meeting. In the beginning, lots of them come, maybe 8 or 10 come together. Later on, one by one, they left, and only one or two left behind. So if you are following your friends, one day they may leave. Would you still follow Jesus or follow your friends? Of course, there are lots of conferences coming, or weekend away coming. Your buddies are not going. Are you following your buddies? Or are you following your Lord? So we have to think about this. Let's look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 60. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, that this is a hard saying, who can understand it? Actually, before that, Jesus told them, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. So they think this is a very hard saying. So this is a hard saying, who can understand it? They have question marks in their life. So what did they do next in verse 66 and 67 in chapter 6? 66 and 67. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So you see, if you are coming, oh, a group, how happy, let's go to the meeting together. Suddenly you hear some hard saying, suddenly you have questions, suddenly you have doubts in your mind. This is hard saying. Oh, following Jesus, you have to give up everything, you have to bear the cross, you have to eat the flesh and drink the blood.
How can this be? Walk with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? So this question will come to you. Men say one day, your friends who are very close to you, you may come to the meeting together, you may have Sunday school together. One by one, they may migrate to somewhere else, some may go back to China, some finish their study and go back to their homeland. Suddenly you feel you are quite lonely. Suddenly you feel, I'm all alone, where are they? Oh, I come to this church, now they are all strangers, my good friends are not here. Do you want to go away? Do you also want to go away? Following Jesus is good, as long as I have a group of friends helping me, supporting me. But when it comes to, wow, when it seems following the Lord is quite lonely, should I follow? This is the question I want to put and ask you today. Are you alone? Let's look at John chapter 21 again. In John chapter 21, verse 21 and 22, Peter seeing him, that is the Apostle John, and asked to Jesus, because in the previous verse, maybe I need to read a little bit more. In verse 19, then this he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God, and when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Now this is Jesus saying to... No, sorry, I need to read more, otherwise it doesn't make sense. Can we start from verse 18? Verse 18. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, Jesus is talking to Peter, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. So Jesus is talking about what will happen to Peter. This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. Talking about Peter, one day Peter will die, martyred. And when he has spoken this, he has said to him, follow me. Jesus answered to Peter again, follow me, follow me. And then in verse 20, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciples whom Jesus loved following, that means John, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is this one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. What about him? What about my friend? I follow you. Lord, you call me to follow you. But what about my friend? He's not coming any here anymore. You want me to go there? How about them? Then when Jesus will tell you, what is that to you? What is your concern? You follow me. It's the saying, follow me. Sometimes we care so much about our friends, those who are baptized with me. When I went to baptism, there are 10 people going to baptism. I'm one of the men, and there's the other guy, and there are 8 sisters. Now, where are they now? I don't know where they are. We may be separated in different areas, but what is that to me? Still, come back to here, I have to follow him. Brothers and sisters, we are called to follow him. Not because of your parents want you to come here, not because of all your friends are here, not because your relatives, your good friend, your schoolmates come here. You come here because you want to follow Jesus. Wow, but this is so lonely. This is the problem we feel sometimes. Let's look at 1 Kings. Actually, I share this on the weekend away. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10. This is Elijah talking to God. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. I am all alone. I alone am left. Lord, you want me to serve you? I serve you. But look around. It's only me. Brothers and sisters, sometimes when you go to some special meeting, maybe, hey, my best friends are not here. I am all alone. Are you all alone? So what did God reply to him later? In verse 18, chapter 19, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So in fact, there are 7,000 more. So when you think you are alone, now I tell you, you are not alone. There are 7,000 you may not know. So following Lord, you are not alone. This is not a one-man mission to follow the Lord. Okay? First of all, God is always there with us. And not only that, He will give us company. But first of all, let's look at in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. 15 to 16. This is Paul. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me. So because of the persecution, many Christians from Asia, they are afraid to get persecuted, so they left, turned away from Paul. And in verse 16, the Lord grants mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain, and he went all the way to Rome to find Paul. So it appears that if you just dwell on the fact that all those in Asia have turned away from me, I'm so lonely. No, look at that. Actually, God sent someone to comfort Paul. So when you see, all my best friends are not here, look around. You may see someone God sent there to accompany you. If we look further down to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. All forsook me. It seems many have forsook Paul. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me and all that the Gentiles might hear. So look at that, the Lord stood with me. So even all forsook you, but the Lord stood with me. Then you realize you are not alone. Sometimes we are crowded with people. We don't know what is in your heart. Sometimes God allows them, people may be away, and God will see what's in your heart. And then you will realize He stood with you. So if we go back further in the Old Testament, think about Moses. Oh, God called Moses to serve him. He seemed to be, I'm alone. How can I face Pharaoh? I'm so limited. And remember how God sent someone to help Moses? He sent Aaron, go to your brother. Aaron can help you. And in later part of his life, God used Joshua to help him as well. So Moses is not alone. Not only God is with him, God gave him company. New company. He didn't know Aaron that, isn't it? Because all the time he was in the palace in Egypt. So to him, Aaron is totally new, maybe. But God will raise some new company for you. Brothers and sisters, I say again, when sometimes you come to the meeting, you feel, my buddies, my best friends, they are here. They have gone one by one. Should I go? Well, look around. God will give you new company. How about David? When David has got a good friend, Jonathan, what did Jonathan do? Jonathan gave him, once David conquered or overcame Goliath, Jonathan fell he really liked David, and he gave him his armor, his belt, his bow, his sword, gave him everything. So he was not jealous with David. And when David was in trouble, Jonathan tried to help him as well. So Jonathan was a new friend given by God. So brothers and sisters, look around. There may be a Jonathan around you. He may be willing to support you, to help you. So look around. You are not alone. Remember Elijah? Oh, I'm the only one left for 7,000. Okay, if you give up your work, someone will continue your work. God raised Elisha to take up his work. Where you cannot finish, I will raise someone up. He is your company. He's your apprentice. He will learn from you. Help him. Help him. Even though Elijah was not very willing to help him, always want to go away. But still, Elisha still followed him all the way, and then, oh, I want double portion of your spirit. And then one day he got it. So still, God raised up Elisha to help Elijah. So don't worry about, I'm getting no use. Don't worry, God will raise up someone new, young, to be a successor of your work. Look around, you are not alone. Remember Paul? Paul has to go out everywhere to preach the gospel. In the beginning, he has Barnabas to go with him, and then Mark. But later on, Mark cannot face all these difficulties. He wants to leave. And because of that, Barnabas has to separate with Paul later on. So even though he has got problems, my dear Barnabas is leaving me. Oh, I'm so lonely. And turn around, God gave him another co-worker, Silas. And not only Silas, remember later on, if we read the Acts of the Apostles, we see Timothy, we see Titus, we see Luke, all joining his team. So he is not alone. But to Paul, these are new faces, maybe. In the beginning, they are strangers. But because they have a common thing, they want to follow the Lord, this common thing helped them to knit together to follow the Lord. So what is underlying in your heart? I want to find good friends here so that we can play games together. You want to be my friend? Can you play basketball? You don't play basketball? You don't play basketball? Oh, I got no friends here. So your underlying thing is you want friends that can play basketball, or your underlying thing in your heart is we want to follow the Lord together. And then if you, this is what's in your heart, you will find new company. God will raise up new friends to help you to follow him. So look around, you may find a mentor. A mentor like Timothy can find Paul, or Joshua can find Moses. Look around, you may find someone that needs help, that needs encouragement, that needs support. So when you come to the meeting, the meeting finished, don't leave within 10 seconds, and then you can go out the door. No, stay around, know them, know their needs, see what you can do. They may encourage you, or you can encourage them. Do I need to change the mic? Okay, I still continue. So in here, when you come, you are not trying to find a friend. Yes, I come to the meeting. That doesn't look like to be my friend. These ladies, they may like to talk about cooking. I don't like cooking. I don't like, these are parents. I don't know about raising children. I'm still a young man. How can I talk to these old guys? So I can't find a friend here. So let me say, you come here not to try to find a friend, someone with common ground with you. You come here because you follow the Lord, and then you try to be a friend to someone who follows the Lord as well. So you're not to find a friend, but to make a friend. So come here, when you come here, don't just stand around and then walk away. Listen to the message and then just walk away. Don't be a silent listener. Don't just watch what people do here. Something you can offer, you may offer care. Someone was carrying heavy things. Someone was moving the chair. You can help to carry, right? Someone was need support. Thing, exam, HSC, blah, blah, blah. And then offer your support. Someone has been working very hard, preparing to serve you. Give them encouragement. Maybe you came here today is for saying some encouragement words to brothers and sisters. If you keep silent all the time, nobody knows you here. No wonder you feel you are a stranger here. No wonder you feel it's all strangers around you because you don't talk to people. You don't give them encouragement. You don't give them support. No wonder you are lonely. No wonder you came here for 2 years and you know no one. So think about what can you do. Then you may say, well, I'm a very passive person. I'm a bit shy. I don't know how to talk to people. I have no interest in talking about parenting or works or sports. I don't know sports. I don't talk to these young guys. I don't know how can I talk to them? I don't know much about politics. I need someone to help me with microphone. And I find some help. Yeah. I feel awkward when I stand around people. I don't know what I should say. Do you feel the same, have the same feeling? I usually have this feeling because I believe it or not, I'm a very shy person. And I don't know how to talk to people. I feel embarrassed. I feel awkward when I stand around people. What should I say? If I talk to young people, you old guy, what do you want from us? Okay? So if I stand to the older people, you know nothing. You young man. So I always feel, where should I put myself? I don't feel comfortable. Okay? So how can we overcome all this awkwardness in coming to make new friends with other people? Well, the only verse I can think of, let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. Actually, I got fear when I come to new people. I may feel that they may not like me, they may reject me, they may not like my English was so clumsy. The young people may think I'm old, the old people may think I'm too young, and so on, so on. There's all kind of fear in my life. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. So when I come to people, in fact, I want to get close, I need support, but I feel I don't want to get too close. I don't want to open myself that up and people may know all my weakness in another way, so I want to hide behind, keep a distance from others, brothers and sisters. So no wonder sometimes we feel we are strangers. No wonder we feel, this is a very cold church. Why? Because you are not sharing the warmth. You are not taking the warmth from other brothers and sisters. But perfect love casts out fears. So if you have love, out of love, you can reach out to people. I remember in the camp, there's a Pete has the young boy there. What's his name? I can't remember. Enoch. He was jumping, bouncing on the trampoline. I didn't talk to him before. So how can I connect to that boy? I say, you're bouncing well. Can you touch my hand? Then he boom, boom, jump up and try to touch my hand. Okay, very good. When he touched my hand, can you go higher and higher? And when he tried to touch my hand again, I take my hand and then ha ha ha, and he laughed all the way. And so now, because out of love, I dare out to reach out to him, to this young boy. I never talked to him before. And because of love, that takes away all the fear. I don't think, oh, I'm an old uncle. How can I talk to this young boy? He may not like me or brother. Take away all the fear. I like this boy. I want him to be happy. So I reach out to him. So, brothers and sisters, sometimes you have to may God give you the courage to reach out. Reach out to someone you may not know very well. It may seem a little bit awkward, but why would you reach out? Because out of love, you reach out. If out of fear, you will withdraw. You want to protect yourself, isn't it? So, sometimes we can only see the outward, but actually what is in your heart? If you want to love brothers and sisters, I want to show that I care. So I talk to the young boys. Hey, how are you doing at school? What's your favorite game? What do you do? Ah, you're doing very well. I like how you play the music. I like how you do that. Talk to them, reach out to them. Instead of, oh, what would they think of me? Reach out to them. Out of love, reach out. So, as we gather, let's focus on following the Lord. We can share our experience, forming new bonds with one another. For example, if there are newcomers, any newcomers today? I can't recognize any newcomers here. If there are any newcomers come here today, what should we do? Oh, at least this is the family of God. We are part of this family. We should greet and welcome the newcomers, isn't it? So that they are welcome here. Sometimes after the meeting, all those who are very close forming little circle, and the newcomers, where should I go? No one come to talk to me. This is not very nice for newcomers. So think about how can we reach out in love. Even say if Paul, the apostles Paul, came here today, we have nothing in common, isn't it? So, oh, I can't talk to you about Hong Kong. Paul, you know nothing about Hong Kong. How can I communicate with you? But, Apostle Paul, hey, since we are so different, tell me about your experience in Christ. Tell me about your experience in preaching the gospel in Europe. What are your difficulties? How can you sing in the prison? Tell me about your adventures. Because we come from different backgrounds, actually, that shouldn't be a hindrance. That should be a chance for me to know you. Once our sister Vatu, he talked to me about, wow, her marriage story. Wow, that is so fascinating. But I won't tell you. You got to ask him. I'll ask her yourself. Wow, it's like, oh, wow, this is amazing. This is wonderful. This is a God-given marriage. This is wonderful. Very interesting. Ask her. Know her. Appreciate what God has done in her life. She is so willing. She is willing to open up herself, sharing her story. So brothers and sisters, may we have the same spirit. Really open up our how we experience the Lord. Our common ground is that we want to follow the Lord. The Lord wants us to follow Him. And then we can share our experience in Christ. So when there are newcomers here, we can greet them, know them, but instead of just knowing some stories about them, appreciate them in your heart. Wow, you can serve God like this. How amazing God's work in your life, in your study, in your health, in your family. God's wonderful hand in that will be an encouragement to me. It's just not just nosy, it's not just prying around people, private business, no. Is seeing God's hand in others' life really encourage me? And I can also share how God is working in my life to encourage you. We can encourage one another. So we are building this new friendship in Christ. In other words, yes, we are following the Lord, and we are not alone. We are supporting, encouraging one another in Christ. We can learn, if we are humble enough, we can learn from our brothers and sisters. Oh, the way how he or she always have a burden to preach the gospel. This is good. We can ask, some brothers and sisters went to the nursing home. We can ask about them. How's your trip to nursing home yesterday? How was the singing? What did you share? Ask. And they will be sharing with you. And we can be encouraged. And we can show, not just gathering some information, in our heart, we can show our love. We can support them, we can encourage them, we can use our prayer. Pray for them and pray to them. Pray for them. So also we have to have a spirit of willingness to open how God's hand in our life. Share about how God has been dealing with you in your life. How God's grace come upon you this week. Not all the time talking about 20 years ago or 30 years ago. How about this week? So after the meeting, as we go to the morning, having morning tea on the deck, maybe not always try to stick around with the same group of people. How about today we start? Maybe the find a time, maybe short time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, talk to someone you have never been talking to him or her before. Try to know them. Or you can share something with them. Maybe what you have gained from today's message, maybe you have been touched by a certain song or the lyrics, maybe God's hand how come upon you or weekend away, you can share. So these are the things we can have sharing with one another. If we always practice like that, then when you come, you won't feel this is a very cold church. Or, I've been here for a long time, but these are all strangers before me. No, it's your attitude. If you want to be a stranger among them, they are strangers to you. But if you open up yourself, you will find many supporters, encouragers in Christ. This is what I want to share today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you called us to follow you. And we thank you that we are not alone. You raised up many brothers and sisters that we can know and help and encourage one another. Pray that we will be reaching out of love. And we can find help and support from them. And we can offer our help and support to them as well. Lord, bless your church. May your church grow together as a body. May all who come here find their position in Christ, not a stranger, but bonded with brothers and sisters, with love in you. Lord, we thank you for this time. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.